Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Hullcast number one.
But this is not your first time doing one, but it is Party Phil's first time, huh?
That's right, Party Phil.
I've done a lot of things, but I've never done a Hullcast. So.
And you can tell from his...
Tell us about what you've done, Party Phil, besides the Hullcast.
Besides the Hullcast, what I've...
Like anything but the Hullcast matters. But, this is what it's really all about. But.
Well, I've done some things. I've taken photographs. I've traveled abroad. I've played music. I've dabbled in art. And mostly it encompasses everything that I've done.
Yeah. And take it from me, Party Phil makes the kind of music that you really want to listen to.
But none of that stuff makes me think party, though. How'd you get the moniker Party Phil?
The moniker Party Phil started on College Street in 2006 or 7 or something, and there was another Philip G, whose name was Phil or Philip, and I became essentially Party Phil because at the time I was a DJ with long hair.
Okay.
Yes. So
and by default,
and that was my so it became DJ Party. It was DJ Party Phil, which later evolved to Party Phil, and it was the name that people in Riverside and elsewhere would know me, even if they didn't really know me.
That's right. Those were the days we remember sometimes. And
sometimes. So here's what I wanted to ask you about, because you said you had some list topics, but the thing
yes,
is.
Sir.
Just when you mentioned that you engaged my ex-wife in some sort of sparring on Facebook, because Cody's done that with her a number of times.
Right.
And I've always told, I used to tell her at least when she was speaking to me, like, you know, keep that stuff off of there. You know, that's for people like Shelton and Cody, the political people. But, you know, you do have the reputation of strictly saying things just to rile people up.
Well, it is never the intent to rile people up. When I've never... Even the jokes, I always kind of mean it. It's always there. Sometimes I'm a little imprecise. The problem is social media. Of course, I was trained in being very soothing and very relaxing. But when you've got 140 characters and you have to say, you know, and you have to communicate a lot, you go for the big bats, you know. And what happened with that was Chase, a lovely lady, a good friend of mine, I've known her for years and years. I tweeted that essentially that if my daughter brought home a soldier, I'd have her Baker Act it.
Right. So what
now,
happened?
First of all, that's not legal. Second of all, I don't have a daughter.
Well, this one goes out to all our guys in uniform, but are you not afraid of offending like people that have, you know, because her brother is, I'm sure she brought this up in the argument,
yes,
that her brother's in the military. Her father was in the military. Her grandfather was a pilot.
Absolutely.
So.
I have many friends in the military. Always have. I love the military. This is a military town, military
yeah.
state. God knows they've put billions of dollars into this city, you know, and all that. When I say things like that, I'm reflecting the kinds of things that are said to me by my friends in the military and their families, their wives, their spouses, their daughters, the things they go through. You know, they can't say what they would like to say.
Right.
The rules of that job prohibit that.
That's, you're right about that. And there's also like among, I know, especially in Jacksonville, Navy wives, it's sort of like, you know, it's a sisterhood. Uh-huh. I remember my sister when she was married to a Navy guy, there's like the long corny poem about being, yeah, how awful it is to be a uh-huh. sailor's wife.
Yeah.
So, but was that your intent? Was like that there's so many reasons that.
Well, it's just, it's a difficult job. It's not that. You know, now you could always cite the statistics, you know, domestic abuse rates among active military being double what they usually are.
Did not know that.
Civilian population, suicide rates being triple or quadruple that of the civilian population.
I think it's something like double at the very least, triple, quadruple.
It is, as Yola Tingo would say, periodically double or triple. That is actually on the MP3 disc. Because when we talk about these particular things, which will come up, that will be our...
Because you like statistics, huh?
They're useful.
Yeah.
You know, all numbers are kind of fabricated. But anyway...
No, wait a minute. I want to get on the statistics deal because...
Yes.
The statistics, Mark Twain had the perfect saying about them, which, you know, there are lies, there are damn lies, and then there are statistics.
That's right.
The absolute worst. Mm-hmm. And the thing about statistics is I think they're useful. I think they're useful for giving you a rather kind of grandiose, vague view of things. Mm-hmm. People draw such specific conclusions from them, though. I think that's the dangerous part of them. What do you think about that?
Well, statistics are useful. They're kind of like recipes or something. You know, it's something you got there on a piece of paper, and in theory, if you do it just like that, you're going to get proper results. But how many times do you take the recipe and do it exactly as the recipe says, and it totally fucks up? There are all kinds of variables you don't know about. Statistics are a good representation of a situation, but just the same way that words are a good representation of something. But the words aren't the real thing. The words are just a symbol to represent, you know.
And that's an interesting point. Because
which is why we have so much trouble trying to express ourselves.
Right. I was just going to say, because you have someone who, you know, maybe doesn't use their vocabulary very carefully, and they'll try to express one thought, it'll come out another way, and someone they completely misunderstand the situation. The same thing, I think, can happen with certain statistics. Of course, I think statistics, especially companies that mm-hmm. make them, you know, oftentimes it's too obvious that they have an agenda one way or the other.
They're
tools. Right,
they're
exactly.
Like media companies, mm-hmm. statistics, the makers of statistics, the users of statistics.
Oh, and speaking of which, since we'll bring it back to Chase.
They're corporate lobbyists.
Yes.
They have a bankroll, a payroll, and it's being subsidized by the top 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get into 99% or 1% or to, you know, avert things or anything, but these people are the very people that are responsible for crimes, treason,
sure.
other things that the corporate America has done and continues to do, and so the essential thing to do is to diminish their lack of power and integrate them into society as normal people,
absolutely,
not billionaires without remorse, without care, business class.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think we might have a perfect example mm-hmm. of a situation where I want to make sure I understand you correctly.
Okay.
Okay, and that is, you know, I don't think someone's inherently evil just because they're rich.
No.
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 And
no.
Exactly, and I think, but a lot of the rhetoric that comes mm-hmm. out of that, like what you just said,
uh-huh.
billionaires.
What kind of?
Well, you're kind of labeling, you know, someone, and that doesn't mean they're necessarily good or bad.
I would say, though, that
what kind of rhetoric?
The richer you are, the more likely you are to be a devious bastard.
Well,
I will
it takes
that,
an excellent
in this country.
It takes
true.
An excellent
like everywhere, really.
It's like being the best free safety in the NFL. What mentality does it take to do that job?
It takes the greatest businessman to be an excellent exploiter. Yeah. It's the you better know, the better the better.
I don't think that's true.
I've been looking into
if,
the influence.
If a significant group of people unknowingly uneducated, ignorant, poor, kept poor, do work for you, then you, and not receiving the correct compensation that we here in America think of as fair or
but
equal.
But we're not talking about Mexicans.
We're not talking about Mexicans. And we're not, no, who said anything? I didn't say anything about Mexicans.
And
but, you know, that's where I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I've been looking into the power of corporate lobbyists for years. As I've come to ultimately understand it, is that it lies in the fact that almost every major corporation, every building they own, has a lobby.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're the lobbyist and you make the lobby of the building, everyone that comes in or out of the building, they have to pretty much go through your area. You know? It's kind of the way Jacksonville used to be with the toll booths. They come through, get their business card, blah, 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 and there it is. Totally based on proximity. Who you know, handshakes, hugs. It's very smooth. The real power exists on a level that can't be quantified in statistics and could barely be expressed in words. It's the, you know, it's the look that two spies give each other across a room when nobody else knows what the deal is.
Do you guys, do you ever listen to the ViStar bank commercials or local radio or anything like that?
I'm sure I've probably heard of
it. There's a commercial that goes, good old business, or just if you want good business or just a friendly handshake, come to ViStar. And here I am in my mind, saying, who gives a fuck about a handshake? Who gives a fuck about a handshake?
Handshakes are important.
Handshakes are a Western thing. People in the Middle East and elsewhere, it's not about a handshake. Oh my God, you're bigger than me. You can squeeze my hand.
Well,
I'm not trying to, get off top and become deranged.
Well,
The point of a handshake.
The point of a handshake is not to out squeeze someone's hand. It's not to squeeze someone's hand. It's simply to get the cut of it. It's to get the cut of a man's jib. It's like you shake my hand and I'll know a little bit about you straight away. It's a great way to begin a conversation.
That is true. You can tell a lot from a handshake. You really
absolutely.
Can.
I know that I'm.
It's like a hug for the hand.
I do this sort of thing.
Yes.
That's my shit.
Right.
Which
signifies an affiliation with certain cultural concepts that can then be used to, like, if you're shaking hands like that, if you're shaking hands like that with the thumbs and the swinging around and
yeah. It's really a pleasure to meet you.
Right, and the other side of that
I'm like,
you shook my hand when you walked in, Party Phil.
Yes.
Yeah. So
and was it more docile? Was it?
No, I thought it was fine. Yeah.
Handshake.
It was good enough. It sounded good. This guy seems good to me.
In professional wrestling, there's always been this...
Always back to that, man.
Man, this guy loves professional wrestling.
But what?
Yeah, I do. I like professional.
No, I didn't
say
that.
So what's the handshake?
Well, there's this rumor, like, all through the history of pro wrestling, or in recent years, whatever, this idea that when people shake hands, apparently the goal is to shake hands as lightly and delicately as possible. It's like the tougher you are, the lighter your handshake is. And, like, people will rebel against that norm, and they'll get, they'll face, persecution within their industry.
I like the idea, though, of Vistar having a handshake specialist in case we even do jive handshakes with all the snaps.
No, it's true. They're like...
When the wrestlers come to the show, they need to shake everyone's hand.
Need credit card, help. We have handshakes. It's like, God, I want to be the guy whose job it is to shake people's hands. But I wouldn't be good at that.
Right.
I would just be like doing the whole Miami New Yorkian handshake the whole time. And they would just be like, oh, God, my hands are too delicate for that sort of thing.
That's true.
Oh, that's funny. But, it's an interesting point, the handshake. Because you say, like, well, what good is a handshake? And like we were talking about, you kind of can tell a few things. It doesn't necessarily mean whatever you think is true,
Well, But
at the same time, when you say what good is a handshake, that's an interesting question because in America, or at least in the West, a handshake at one time that's a deal.
Correct.
That's a contract.
Contract deal.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. It.
That
now,
is.
Since things like that have not held up through custom, and then you have things like these imbalances you're talking about.
Is it better?
All the way up, in culture from the time, there were imbalances then.
Correct.
Back when the handshake did mean something. Now, a handshake doesn't mean anything. Truth is, a contract doesn't mean diddly for the most part.
No, it doesn't. Mm.
And especially when they can be amended continuously. Check your credit card companies.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's all kinds of problems in that. And I think that has led to a lot of the serious economic problems that we've had is that degradation and treating people like a resource as opposed to treating them like other human beings.
The people
not having control. Well, not to say control, but... the common people got to be a lot more aggressive about how they handle their personal shit.
It's unfortunate that they have to be. Sean, go ahead.
Well, it's always been that way. It's a challenge the black man had to deal with a long time ago.
Absolutely.
United States when this country was founded. We were the first to stand up and actually beat Great Britain in an actual, straight up battle. At a time when anyone who even tried, if they lost, went out in the most brutal way possible.
Yeah, well, with a lot of help from France. But,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Spain.
Sure.
Spain.
Aliens.
Spain had reached a point where they were, felt like, we're sick and tired of Great Britain. We're going to fuck them up. France, you know, sent a
the
lot Nephilim, of people.
The Nephilim, the Bureau, and Planet and
then,
X.
And then we had our, you know, ragtag good old boys from, you know, the New England and elsewhere saying, we're rich and wealthy, and so we don't want the other British elite rich and wealthy here because we want to make more money. I mean, I love America, but, sometimes people reference Marx or others, and, they know that it was just an exchange between, one group of power elites and another group of power elites who continue to systematically exploit further minority groups.
It's all bullshit.
It's not the communists, it's the Colombians, it's some black people, it's hippies.
The only thing you can really trust
leftist,
is that people will
communist, Marxist.
Yes.
You know, people that are.
You are totally living up to your name, Party Phil, right now, man. I do want to interject one thing though before we get deeper is that whenever Shelton speaks, you have to cede the floor, everybody.
Aww.
No one came here to listen to you, Cody, or Party Phil.
No, sorry.
Well, actually, probably you, Cody, but not so much Party Phil. I'm just messing with you, man.
No,
you're doing. You took to it like a fish to alcohol. You're doing great.
God, I mean, I just.
The makers of Bullet Bourbon. their wives came over here earlier to ask Willis to stop drinking because they hadn't seen their husbands in days.
The weekend's coming up, got full of double shit.
Yeah. It was like one of the. One of the foremen dropped dead. They just threw him in with the sour mash. The podcast, number one, the mic check, et cetera, podcast will only be kind of a short one. Then we'll do a second one, I think, like right at the same time, sort of follow up. Because I want to, like, we'll cut this one in a couple of minutes and then go to basically, I want to talk about the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Jacksonville in particular. I mean, this will be out. It'll be a couple of days before these podcasts are out on the air. But what's about to happen tomorrow with the clearing out of Zuccotti Park is going to be quite an interesting situation. Actually, let's just get to that right now, if you don't mind. Let me sum up the situation real quick for.
Give us the intro.
Let
me just ask this: do we want to sort of? I mean, this is like not. Really, okay. Do we want to like set up anything like this? Is the shelf you want to? Set it up again, or no? You just
want to
dump into it?
You could
just
set it.
I think. Okay. Well, when we do the next one, we'll do it.
Edit it.
Every time we cut it.
Edit it later.
Every time we cut it, I'll just restart, like give it a little.
Okay.
You know,
and
maybe
start it up again.
Guys,
number the segments.
I don't mind. I like the way the three of you work. I have allergies. I'm going to be sneezing, coughing. I'm going to run over there anytime I have to. So I like the mix we got here. I want some more fighting between Party Phil and Boring.
We weren't even fighting at all.
I know.
I want more of it. Of that not fighting.
Will just can't stand it when there's two guys on either side of him. That's all.
You don't like being the bitch and the bitch.
I can't stand it. I can definitely lay on my back.
Well, we'll at some point we will let Cody and Phil. You know, do the crossfire style while you and I, while Willis and I go look for massage parlors.
And who am I, James Carville? Yeah. The bald guy on the plane.
No, you're James Carville, the ice cream guy.
There was something about that. There was something in the news about a serial killer. They just found some more victims that he's.
The guy in Cleveland?
Cleveland, yeah. It was
the
like,
guy with all the women in the house, the black guy?
Case. What's the guy? James something. I didn't even remember. I didn't even know there was still serials were killing each other.
Like a serial killer killing other serial killers?
Or like, No.
Who's he killing?
What do you think happened to Frank?
Young boys. Little children. Pretty deranged, I would say.
It seems unnecessary.
He's a serial killer. He's got a lot on his mind.
You know?
That would be something.
Let
that
me
one
say real quick,
say,
fuck serial
really
killers and fuck the child molesters.
You
and
a stance on that this early?
Early dog.
I'm not running for office anymore, so I can actually speak.
You can actually say what you want.
Why did you try to cultivate that serial killer mode?
I wasn't trying to cultivate. I was cultivating the fuck the serial killer mode. I mean, it's like, you know, it makes no sense to me, these people. Anyway, now the Cleveland guy, real quick, ex-Marine, the guy that shot up the eight people in the beauty parlor.
That was in California, not Cleveland.
Yeah, well, that guy's an ex-Navy guy. He had a little Navy thing around his neck.
Is that what prompted you?
No, this was before that.
Okay.
The guy that robbed a Long Island pharmacy and shot and killed six women and children, including like the old ladies in the pharmacy, just to take their Oxycontin.
Well,
you know.
Well, you know, after World War One, a lot of veterans came back, experiencing distress. What is now referred to as PTSD, which was not a diagnosis
back then.
And they were just perfect for the mobsters to just go fucking just kill everybody.
And I don't blame the government. And I don't blame the government because they didn't really game plan for the kinds of problems the troops would have when they were coming back from these wars because they weren't planning for those troops to come back. You know?
The
decisive factor in that war is they sent them over there. It's not like they lied about weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, you're talking about now. Okay.
Yeah, the whole trajectory of the thing. They presumed that the enemy did have that shit, you know, and they sent the people over there anyway, you know.
Right.
Everybody knew that it was a lie to begin with.
Well, wait. No.
I knew it was a lie even before anybody said that it was a lie.
Well, wait a minute. If you're talking about Iraq specifically,
which is what I'm referring to. Yes.
Well, a lot of people did not believe that, you know, and a lot of reasonable people. I mean, that's Democrats, that's Republicans, that's, you know, higher ups, lower downs. A lot of people did. And the reason was because there was Saddam Hussein had reported that, right, and had kept reporting that. He had been hiding from UN inspectors for a long, long time,
that's true.
Not allowing them into the sites to inspect. And then, you know, 9/11 happens and America gets paranoid.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not to say that he ended up having those things, but you know, the reason for doing it was fear. You know,
he was an asshole and he had it coming.
But you know, the reason I agreed with that. I'm sorry, Sheldon. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying, you know, Saddam was an asshole.
Yeah,
did have it coming.
That's why I say the reason I liked it was because it was a dictator that we put up, and you know, at least we cleaned up the mess somewhat. You know, it's still a mess, but you know, at least it seems like it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I'll always give Bush and Cheney credit for the fact that, you know, and even now with Obama, they picked worthy targets. You know, it's like, fuck those dudes.
That's true. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to ask you, and
please,
this is on the Occupy Wall Street stuff that you mentioned before. I saw a video that someone had taken of you speaking at Occupy Wall Street. I guess it was last week or something like that.
Yes.
And some of the stuff, when you were out there talking, I even told Will about it. I was like, yeah, man, Shelton, he does a good job at riling the crowd up. And I was very, like I spoke before about people who aren't careful about using their words. You, I think, are very careful in a lot of times.
You said you're learning the game.
Yeah, just like you said when the first time you were on the list with us, you said, well, you know, when I lost that election, it just made me want to, you know, like Scott was saying, step your game up or whatever. He's like, you know, just made me learn the game a little better.
Yeah.
And when you went up there and were doing that with that crowd, I was like, that dude is playing that game right now, man. He's doing it just right, too.
Cody was both, like, impressed and also like, oh, we got another politician now.
Oh, it's all, you know... We all know each other. We all hang out day in, day out. A lot of times people come up and they deal with me. They think they're getting the character that I'm playing. Like, they think I'm just going to be dropping, like, you know, here's something made out of red in the Moscow Times.
Nice.
But for me, I think the key to, like, with anything you do is just keep it breezy. Like, have a good time
True.
With it. You know, That stuff with the talking to those kids, that was fun. You know, that was a lot of those people I knew, a lot of people I didn't know. I don't necessarily agree with everything. There's a whole bunch of individuals.
I know,
there's
it's so
no
random.
Organized thing. It's, you know, we could argue about all kinds of this and that, but they're out there trying it. So I was out there to say, hey, good for you. I was watching some of the coverage of the stuff in New York and as it expanded, and I'd see the way people, politicians, people in the media would talk about those protesters and make jokes about it and say, oh, get a job, oh, this and that, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just run these people down, you know.
Right,
and,
true.
And I just sort of figured, well, you know, if you want to be a fucking bully, I'll give you something to, like, try to bully around. If they want to play the dozens with me, they can play the dozens because I've been in this business 15 years.
Yeah.
And they sit there saying, what are these people protesting about? Well, I know exactly what they're protesting about. Mm-hmm. They're protesting about the exact same things we've been warning them about for years.
True. Even though a lot of them have a problem expressing exactly what it is, the concept where people say that corporate greed is what they're protesting is, you know, that's a valid concern.
Absolutely.
And I think, and it affects the society in so many deep, deep ways. To make fun of it is really, in my opinion, is kind of to just show that you're not really interested in having a serious conversation about it.
You need to separate
the people that are continued. Sorry, I don't even know where it was going.
No, you're in it.
Please.
Party Phil, let's go.
But you know, it's just some people, and half of the people, you know, maybe 75%, 15%. Are, well, you know, we know what's going on, and the others are just like, oh, you know, so what is that? And it's like, what are you going to be there for? It's like, what am I going to be there for? Rather, what will you not be there for? It's you're unconcerned, and you're unconscious, and your lack of inability to be able to participate in something political, some, you know, important within the world today, you know, collectively, globally, nationally, locally. And with all, you know, presence, the idea that there's a deficit with critical thinking in the United States of America, and our way of life has been consumed, namely by a 1%. The 99% thing is different because
everyone knows what's
going
on.
I have a more radical, more left idea of sort of that of my point of view, but there's no need for me to get into it. But I do think that the 1% represents billionaires who are essentially they're there because their families were there and
many of the 1%
and the founding fathers left a legacy of lot of No one's really gained a piece of the pie, to be honest with you,
yeah.
Unless you know the native people, black people, Hispanic people.
Well, it's all floating
living
around.
In poverty.
You know, we're not. No one's a monolithic group. It's just the money's floating around, and people are grabbing little bits of it. Many of the 1% are themselves part of the 99%. You know, you look at some of the millionaires and billionaires that have already spoken out in solidarity with what's going on. People like Bill Clinton, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates has spoken out, George Soros has spoken. And, you know, these are a bunch of, like, you know, nice people, but they'll drop you in a heartbeat if you try them. You know, when George Soros.
Well, look at the Buffett rule, right?
Yeah, when Soros and Buffett...
Buffett has
had
a solidarity with Occupy Wall Street for...
The two leading financial speculators of our time, when the two leading financial speculators of our time both publicly endorse what the Occupy Wall Street people are talking about, that validates the movement. It can't be painted as one thing or another.
Yeah, see, I got to disagree with you on that, man. I will not say that just because some rich guy... acknowledges or shows solidarity with something that validates them. What validates the movement is the legitimacy of what they're protesting.
Yes.
He's trying to keep fans.
You know?
I'm saying is that these are people. Like when a bunch of poor people get out in the streets and say, you know, corporate America is.
No one gives it.
Hold on. When they say. When the poor people get out there and the working class and the students and all this, they come out and say corporate America and Washington and Wall Street are kicking our asses. You know, the media and the politicians all make fun of them. But then when the richest man in the history of the fucking world comes along and says they are absolutely right, well, then that takes it to a different level. That makes it slightly different. Because if he says If he says they're right and they're wrong, that means he's wrong. And if he's wrong, then
I agree with you 100%.
Isn't that the point, though? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the point when you they're so right. Anyway, I'm not writing checks to anybody. You know, I mean, doesn't that speak to a double standard?
We don't know what he's doing.
You don't know what he's giving back. Maybe he's giving back nothing. Maybe he's giving back a lot.
Well, you can say that for anybody, though. If you're going to say that for him, you can say that for anybody.
We're outsiders of billionaires.
You say that for him. Well, then you can't call people who are rich inherently evil.
No, I think.
Is the point.
Absolutely. I don't think that's. Those who would say the rich are inherently evil, I think that's simplistic. I think, number one, many of the people out there who think they're rich are actually poor. You might have X amount of dollars in the bank. Try taking it all out at once. If you take out more than $10,000 at once, it's being reported to the FBI.
Right.
You've got to explain that. Doesn't matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think you got all this money in the bank. Well, the FDIC only insures deposits up to, what, $200,000?
$250,000.
Yeah. They had to flip that up from $100,000.
Right, just that, back in the book years. Yeah.
That's why all those, to sort of stray away from everything, that's why the Caribbean.
It forces people, you know, the way that, you know.
That's why money's in Switzerland and Nicaragua.
And they split into different banks.
Taxes and loopholes are why it's over there, too.
Think about all the CIA whose money was in Nicaragua and
the
Caribbean, Switzerland.
The poor didn't make the tax loopholes.
Who's what?
The poor didn't make the tax loopholes.
Well, it depends on who you're talking about. The EITC is a pretty big tax loophole, don't you think?
It's a, but I mean, all tax policy is directed by the 1%. The government is controlled by the 1%. Those people who come along that are pushing a sort of liberal, progressive attitude, that's more like a gimmick, you know? It's like when, you know, again,
not to come back around to
the central metaphor of our time, professional wrestling, but they're there to do a job, you know? You look at a guy like, you know, Dennis Kucinich or like a Ted Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
you know, someone who rails hard in favor of progressive ideas, but, and progressive and conservative, all that, they're all just kind of words anyway. The bottom line is America is a ruthless country. All countries are ruthless, all nations, all empires, from the dawn of man to the end of time.
I think you're really talking about people. You're just saying people are
humanity,
ruthless.
Yes.
Yeah, and I agree.
But
I would agree with that.
But nation states have an agenda. They necessarily have an agenda.
Because they're run by people.
They're run by people.
Right, and people have an agenda. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, well, corporations are people. They're just mm-hmm. a legal, they're imaginary entity that's, you know, a representation of a person.
Absolutely. I think a lot of the 99% out there, they're protesting the income inequality and things like that. But they don't quite, they're young people, and they're coming in new to this like a lot of people are. And they don't see, they'll find out ultimately that, like, in my opinion, what it's about, it's not about taking down capitalism. It's about the fact that the free market system was corrupted. This is
agreed.
This situation is about illegal activity.
Mm-hmm.
This is about laws being broken, you know, unethical, immoral things.
The handshake doesn't mean anything
anymore.
That's what I was saying.
People ripping off innocent people for their life savings and knowing full well that they were getting swindled and not being made to account for.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I want to say something very quickly about the arrest of, as a Hispanic male, you know, identifying myself as a Colombian American, an American, you know, Carlos Montes is a Chicano Latino.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's a Chicano Latino, and he was he's been arrested in an FBI raid, and a lot of other people have been arrested in FBI raids recently, because the FBI is anteing its domestic terrorism campaign, just like they did in the 60s with COINTELPRO. You know, not everybody in Occupy Wall Street, you know, is a different kind of person. Some people have experience, others don't, but. The reality is that
it crosses through society. To me,
I think it's going to.
I believe the 99% are expression of the Tea Party. A lot of the, as a journalist, I've gone to a lot of these protests and political rallies over the years. A lot of the same people I saw at the Tea Party rallies a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
I see them at the 99%.
Yeah, there was
now.
Some Tea Party people for the fair tax thing, and I
I mean,
I'm
populism,
not that knowledgeable about it, but I don't really. I don't think that's not my thing, man. That's,
you know, a lot of conservatives, a lot of good right wing, solid heartland Christian conservatives are in labor, are in labor unions.
True. That's, you know,
that's
so
true.
All
true.
The cops and firemen are in unions. They're getting the same shaft that teachers are getting.
Mm.
You know, there's
not any hard leftists in organized labor. I mean, it's 2011.
No, that's
not
true. There are hard leftists in
hard
organized
leftists
labor.
And organized. I mean, I would, you know, I stand. No. We organized.
There are anarchists.
There are.
There were, and if you look at early
Still
American
are.
History. The Eastern Europeans and the Europeans brought these ideologies of left Americana and basically persecuted, beat up, killed.
Put me on the record as saying that all these
Emma Goldman,
all these,
you know,
protests and things going on around the world, you know, in the past year and a half or so, I'll tab a good amount of that, especially in the West, especially in Israel, Britain, Greece, the United States, what's going on right now. I've tabbed that being in with the legacy of Heath Ledger. The Heath Ledger character, Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker was the single most important film role since Tony Montana, was played by Al Pacino.
Which I will.
I mean, I'm not going to agree with it. I would have to really ponder and think about that. But I thought his character was brilliant.
I love that. You don't know me that well, but from when I was a kid, I was a huge Batman fan.
Mm-hmm.
And the Joker in every Batman movie, and I'm a huge movie critic too. But
Christopher Nolan will never pay for
like
a drink
Tommy
in
Lee Jones?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you like Tommy Lee Jones?
Oh, Two-Face? No, he was all right. I mean, all those movies with the Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney.
Cody, I believe that was a dig at you. It's calling you Two-Faced.
Oh.
They were cartoony.
That's deep. But yeah, they were hokey. They were almost like a 90s version of the 60s Batman.
Like,
but
I think Nolan's approach to his series of Batman movies was like darkening it and making it extra gothic and less funny was in part a reaction to the seriousness of our times. I look at those Batman movies.
I'll agree with that.
And particularly the characterization of Bruce Wayne through those two movies as being in many ways a metaphor for America, you know, during those times, like, you know, visited with in the post 9/11 era, visited with mass trauma, being like pressed to adopt all these new methodologies to face things they didn't imagine. Like, you know, 9/11 was massive terrorism on a wide scale, but the amount of shit that's happened in the 10 years plus since, like all the different techniques and methodologies, like the way there were no Virginia Techs before 9/11. There was none of that Norway shit before 9/11. Best anyone could do before 9/11 was like Columbine thing. Now things like that happen on a regular basis.
I disagree. I don't think regular. I mean, people have quote unquote gone AWOL before. There's been ever since people returned from war since World War I, there has been. I mean, this country has been sort of psychotic to weaponry and homicide.
Sure.
And so, but I think it's significantly become worse within the past couple decades.
The only thing
I don't even know what the topic is at hand, but
the only thing the psychiatric community and like the
psychiatric
medical, and the mental
when
health
people
community,
more depressed, they're more.
I'm not a big fan of like the psychiatric community, these quack doctors and the DSMs and all that. But I will say the mental health community, the one thing they have done awesome fucking work on is research into post-traumatic stress. The way we understand how post-traumatic stress.
I'm very familiar with post-traumatic stress. You don't have to be a combat.
Well, we're all Jaguar fans.
You don't have.
How are you very familiar with it?
No possible way that I could say it right now. It's incredibly personal.
You know,
because you raped somebody. No, but I do want to do this.
No rape jokes on my fucking show.
That will be edited out. You said you were familiar.
Don't edit anything out.
Oh, you want people to hear my scolding? See, I'm battling one on two fronts right now. But here's the thing.
This is a lesson for all future guests.
No rape jokes. Yeah. And also, how would you know? You said you were familiar with it. So you probably revisit your victim.
No rape jokes unless you've been a rape victim.
I've experienced it. post-traumatic stress.
I gather that's what you were saying, but
yeah.
You probably, what, like someone bumped into you at Regency Mall or something?
No.
I'm kidding with you, but here's what I want to step back to. Earlier when you said, like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about for the second time, this is the sound drop I need you to use. You can like, deepen the voice and add laser to it, but it's party fill.
Love how Jacksonville's malls are all crime-rated.
No, party fill, party foul. Every time he says, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but here's my opinion, you have to put that behind it. All right, I'm out.
We'll make bumpers, you know. We'll get morning zoo type.
Oh, yes.
How funny,
just
would,
get
be,
a Justin
how funny
TV
would it be
site.
If we were all dressed in, like, the same weird costume or something?
We
like
get a
pirates.
Justin TV site and just stream, like, video.
Tony the Tiger, we were all dressed like Tony the Tiger.
Mm-hmm. Anything is possible in the world as it is now.
Sorry for that, bro.
No,
I just put it in there. I'm just first of all, the handshake. I like when they call back on the handshake. This show is going to be called The Handshake, even though Shelton's never going to let us air this. But also,
is the first show.
But then we'll also play Depeche Mode's. Is it People or People? Which one's it? The Handshake Contract. The Handshake. Oh yeah,
no,
everything counts.
This show should start with "When in Rome" by The Promise.
Oh, God.
You guys keep talking about editing like we're making the Bible or something.
I'm sorry, but I was just thinking about the right words to say.
Two-level Sheldon. It always has two levels, at least. Oh,
I feel like I learned a lot.
If you were a girl, you could see a third.
But let me ask you this real quick, and then I'm going to step back into the photographer.
Yeah.
Do you think Party Phil's going to be a regular? Is he going to be your sidekick?
We've kind of been sidekicks for like the past couple.
No, but on the whole cast, or is this his tryout?
I'm committed to the concept of figuring out as we go along.
Okay, that's a no. You failed. It was nice meeting you, Party Phil.
No, it's like all of us.
We hardly knew you.
Sidekick or no sidekick, I mean.
I don't need. It's like we're.
It's not. He's not my sidekick. Or
the
I'm
point
not
of
his sidekick.
The point of the thing is to entertain. Is to entertain the listeners. You know, we will do these things, put it out, just do as much audio as we can, stack it up on the web, and let the people listen to it as they like.
Well, my vote is
want,
keep
we'll
Party Phil.
I like it. If you replaced me and you put somebody else, I'd be like, I'm like that guy on Letterman that has the sunglasses and just plays the music, but there's no music.
Well,
if you got somebody else, it just wouldn't.
We're all friends. You know, whenever I'm doing one of these things, I tell people about it. It's like, yeah, you can
bring somebody else. I mean,
yeah.
I don't care.
If there's someone else here, we bring them up, you know. I figure once we're in the mood to get shit going, we'll just do as much stuff as we can. That way there's more to choose from. You can edit and play around with it. There's 10 hours of music on that little MP3 thing. More coming in. We want to know more. We want to know as much as possible. You know, there's people out on the web. Conceivably, everyone in the world is listening to this right now. And if you're one of the everyone in the world.
Don't get nervous now. Come on.
Oh, I'm not nervous. I'm just thinking about the implications of what the Hullcast really means for humanity.
That's his goal.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Basically, you know, 80 years from now.
We are the Band-Aid for your soul.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically, in a few years when we're all applying for jobs or something like that, this is going to bring this up in the interview.
Yeah.
So, here it says.
Oh,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would be, you know, and I would be very proud, you know, to at least say that I got to participate. Like, because, you know, I play music, but I don't sit down and necessarily have a dialogue. I feel like Rod Stewart or one of those. They're just sitting there. Not Rod Stewart. Oh my God! Did I say that?
I was wondering what you're going to with that.
Rod Stewart's awesome.
My mind's a little bit twisted right now. Who's the guy with the sunglasses,
Elton John?
and the long hair?
Elton
has
John?
The radio show for years.
Oh, you're talking about Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's awesome.
What have I got in my... Yeah. Howard Stern. I think he's...
You look like a young Howard Stern.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't be insulting, Shelton, please.
That's insulting. Come on.
No, I'm just saying it's, you know, it's...
I don't pay attention to Howard Stern, but I think that like every like
the
I
man's
think,
a genius.
He really is about
him
working.
And Rush Limbaugh.
I mean, I think. I mean, I don't. I don't.
True.
I mean, that's
they busted
easy.
It open.
You
if
could
it,
say that.
If it wasn't for Howard Stern, actually, if it wasn't for Stern, there probably wouldn't be a Rush Limbaugh.
That might
because you know, there's the stuff that, as with a lot of these things, as with politics, there's the stuff that they're actually saying, the ideology mm-hmm. and whatnot. But then there's the business itself.
Right.
You know, one of the. You know, again, mm-hmm. as professional wrestling fans, we all know that sometimes. Sometimes you find yourself in a position where your worst enemy makes a little bit of money for you.
Well,
you got to be like, oh, all right, hey, asshole, thanks for the money. I'll see you next week.
Do you know, Brian Bosworth did that? You know, he had the whole media thing going on back in the 80s when he was in football, and that was his thing was he would sit there and be all smug and snooty to the cameras, and then you'd go to a game that he was playing in, and there'd be people buying T-shirts that say, Boz sucks, and I hate Boz, and the printing company who was printing them up was his company.
Yeah.
You know, it's just absolutely genius in the money-making.
Did Brian Bosworth pay you to mention him now? Like,
no, but being that his nephew is on the Jaguars, I'm mentioning for hometown sake.
We should get some corporate sponsors.
But he did.
Here's a quick thing about advertising. We want advertising. We're gonna fill this thing up. Obviously, this is Florida, so it's all quasi legal. We're gonna set up PayPal, this that. If you want to advertise, if you want to send us some stuff. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you got, like, a fucking banana, send a banana.
Anything, show some support.
Yeah. Just, you know, we want to know what's going on. Tell us what's happening. We're on the web already. There's a Hullcast page on the Facebook. I am on the Facebook. I have the best Facebook page of all time.
True.
Widely certified. I'm on the Twitter. Hullcast will be on Twitter at some point. There will be things on the interwebs and the nets.
I signed up for Twitter and never really used it except a couple times. Because every time I click into it, it's like 39 days later. And it was only like a few people that I really knew on Twitter.
It's like anything else.
It's like I'm not really whatever.
I like the YouTube. I just don't have video stuff. That's the thing. I'm an end user on computers. You know, I kind of...
But
I don't know that much about them. I just get stuff that I like.
Well, the thing is, I mean...
But we're going to saturate.
I've got a music video coming out.
Talk, Mr.
No, I'm just saying, it's like with Twitter...
What you talk about, Willis?
I got my own segment. No, it's like with anything else. You get what you put into it. If you really want...
Yeah.
If you like comedy, you follow a bunch of comedians, and you know, there's other amateur comedians around, or, you know, politicos like you and Cody purport to be... And but the thing is, Sheldon, the thing is you could tie like all your shit together, so you just send out one tweet and it goes to your whole cast, your Shelton Hall, your personal Twitter. You can tie it all together because
you
want some free time, don't you?
Why flip it back and forth? What we're gonna do ultimately as time proceeds.
Get a mantra, and then send it to everything that
you shut your fucking mouth, I'm talking.
You fucking asshole.
That's his mantra.
Yeah. Shut your fucking mouth, I'm talking. It's kind of offensive. Shut your fucking mouth.
You
would have
won District 14 if that would have been your slogan.
No, I'm not Don Redman. Come now.
Mind you, Don Redman and I are...
I'll tell you right now, that's how you debate.
And you're all still talking.
Paper tiger.
Nothing gets done in Duval.
All right, shh. All right.
We're 30 seconds behind on our on our leaking of confidential information.
Keep it going.
The truth about JFK will have to wait for next week.
I already know a guy that lives on Beaver Street that knows about JFK. I made friends with the craziest person in the world, and it made me feel like...
Of course JFK has friends on Beaver Street.
Yeah, and that guy is saying the same thing about you right now,
it's
sure
like Bill
of it.
Clinton's friends on Blowjob Avenue.
I realized that I had hit the rocker when Ike was talking to the craziest person that I had seen in a long time.
Or George W. Bush's you know, storage unit out on, like, somebody hold my drugs for me Boulevard. Sorry.
Well, I already,
you
know.
Apologize on your own.
I never apologize. You know, the Bush family knows how I feel about them. They, you know, I'd take a bullet for the Bushes, even if they were the ones firing it. That's how much I like.
Oh, you know, you play this game well,
man. Shout
out
to Poppy.
Talking about former
Poppy the house.
Former head of the
CIA.
Poppy
was the guy that gave me a haircut that one time in downtown.
September 11th, 1991, Poppy Bush stood in front of a joint session of Congress and declared the formation of the New World Order.
New World Order.
He said it right there in front of the whole Congress, you know.
And then what was their response?
They ignored it.
Well,
say what you want about the Bushes. They never fucking lied about anything. They said flat out what, especially W, they said flat out what they were going to do long before they did it. They just went, they gave their opposition every opportunity.
What did he mean by that?
Hmm?
What did he mean when he said the New World Order?
He was essentially, technically he was referring to,
if you say Ric Flair.
The post-communist era. This is 1991. This is after the collapse
right.
of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, that's what he was talking. That's what the speech was
about.
And
after the whole situation with Saddam Hussein over
right.
the Gulf.
I'm just
like, the U.S. had always been involved in Middle Eastern affairs, but that first tangle with Saddam Hussein drew them in
like
really
that.
Closely.
Right.
It was the... America had always been involved in the Saudi in the situation with the Saudis,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't until the Gulf War that the U.S. really had a serious, hardcore military presence in Saudi Arabia,
right.
which is the thing that, that's the essential thing that pissed bin Laden off. That's what turned bin Laden
infidels.
Against the United States.
Right.
The idea that when Saddam was coming, because they didn't like Saddam anyway, because Saddam was a communist. The Baathist was a proto-communist.
He wasn't a communist. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. He wasn't a communist.
He wasn't a communist.
He was a Baathist.
He was a Baathist, correct. That's the Saddam Hussein party that he founded after the independence of Iraq. And later on, we decided that his influence was better than Iran. We've always had a problem with,
The Assads in Syria are Baathists as well.
The Shia of Iran had good relations with the Soviet Union. We didn't like that.
Yeah.
So we installed elements that would disrupt
Iran. The power structure in the Middle East has always maintained a delicate balance between Marxism and fascism. You know, the roots of Islamic terrorism are in Joseph Goebbels personally going out to the Middle East to meet with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. Their plan was to use the Holocaust to, like, wipe out the Jews of Europe, send all the rest crowding over either into America or down into Palestine,
mm-hmm.
at which point they would have had their plan was to have their own ready-made domestic forces in those areas that would wipe them out.
So who founded Zionism?
Moses.
No, not Moses. Zionism was founded in 1923.
Jabotinsky? Or
Ben-Gurion
was a younger one. Jabotinsky and
Ben-Gurion was the president of Israel.
Waxman. Yeah, the first one that was in 1948. But Jabotinsky was coming in the beginning of the 20th century.
Well, when Israel, I think of Zionism as from the early 1900s and later when Israel became a state in the year 1947.
And it's an excellent,
a few years after, and
well,
then
sure.
they. And then they told all the Palestinians
that's
living 50
years
in their,
into the Zionist cause.
And then they told all the Palestinians living in their native land to leave, and created settlements for them. And then and then just begun to attack everybody, and everybody began
now,
to attack.
Whoa,
everybody.
It was
whoa,
not
whoa.
Until 19.
And now we find ourselves.
No, Israel didn't start that war. No,
and now we
on.
Find ourselves no. in 60 years, 70 years, 80 years.
Bullshit.
You have Arafat,
total.
You have PLO.
The United States and the Soviet Union and the British manipulated the Jews and the Palestinians into war against each other because they didn't like any of them. They never liked you because this is the Anglo-American establishment. And we're Americans, blah, blah, blah. We're a hybrid synthesis of all these cultures, so we can talk about this stuff. We're able to talk about these things, whereas the people who live in those areas can't even talk about it. Absolutely. I mean, they can't talk about it, basically, because they'll get into trouble. Only in America have people been able to protest on this wide a scale, you know, and not be arrested, like,
or run over by tanks.
Yeah. What happened in the Middle East?
Armored personnel carriers.
You know, over in Syria and Egypt and Tunisia this year, with those protests over there, just like the protests in Iran a couple of years ago and the protests in Burma.
Our problems in America tend to be a little bit abstract compared to the visible problems existing in, one would say, third world or Middle Eastern nations, is that apartheid, a lack of home, money, and in America we're suffering. A lot of people are suffering.
Well, they are
and there's a problem because there isn't a resonance with common people who are really being the victims of the rest of society.
The problem is that America got soft. The problem is that America lost the vision of its founders. I'm a Republican. I believe in the idea that God put the United States here to lift other people out of fucking bondage.
Shining city on the hill.
You know, and now, granted, doing that, achieving that goal, you know, busting down all these formerly indestructible monarchical and, you know, communist structures, you know, bringing the Soviets down, you know, moving the Chinese in a different direction, all this, it required the United States to become, you know, the dirtiest fucking bastards in the history of the world. But it was for, you know, we're Ben Cartwright in this shit, you know.
We had a chance after a lot of societies exploited their resources to try to make something better.
Yes.
You know, referring to
and
the
we botched the whole 21st century.
We're referring to the Enlightened Movement, Thomas Jefferson.
The 20th, is that what you're talking about? Or?
The current century.
Oh, so the last 10 years or whatever?
Yeah, it's the United States has made the wrong decision in almost every major case.
Well, and it's always been that. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, just as a quick point, we've entered several wars. We've perpetuated wars in other countries. We've, Israel, Egypt, and Colombia receive a substantial amount of money, billions, trillions of dollars.
Yes.
Towards the military, which thus creates their militaries to be stronger so they can destroy and dissipate other, movements that don't agree with America. And, we've
or
installed
American interest.
American interest, rather, I should say, and we haven't, and you know, we
I'm
haven't.
I'm pro-Israel. I oppose Israeli policy because it's bad for Israel.
That's true in a lot of cases. Yeah. I mean, really, Netanyahu the word escapes me right now, but the, you know, the
Oslo and the
Oslo Accord.
No, right when Obama went over there, and it was the settlements. The settlements continued building. You know, and that was nothing but a slap in the face. And it's obvious that at the time there was no, you know, true desire for peace in it.
Yeah. Well, the idea that the United States could dictate to Israel
exactly
what they should or should not do, like the idea that it's expanding the settlements is not in Israel's best interest is a separate matter from the idea that Israel should just do what the fuck America says. And this is the problem. This is what a lot of the 99% thing is about. The whole world is starting to get the idea, and you see it in the public press. You see it in their state-run newspapers. You see it in their private sector newspapers. You see it said by many of their top-ranking, you know, officials of all different types in places like Russia, China, India. They're putting it out there that our system does not work. They're putting it out that our system is not making the right decisions.
Mm.
So in the wrestling business, there's a...
I knew you were going to do that.
There's a phrase. Yeah. And whoever... Here's a little MacGuffin for the listeners. Whoever can tell us the exact number of times the phrase wrestling, the word wrestling, is used in this episode, will receive one free drink of your choice.
At any bar in Riverside.
No, at Birdie's.
At Birdie's.
Birdie's in Riverside.
I thought you were going to say something like, "Let me show you where we like to occupy Wall Street."
Birdie's in Riverside is the best bar in Riverside, so I support birdies.
Well, Duval's been involved in Occupy Wall Street from the very beginning.
We're part
of it. Yeah, no, I was talking about the bar Wall Street.
Oh, oh, yeah. Wall Street's awesome.
Yeah.
But you should occupy it.
That's what I was saying.
But people were talking about that. But just to go make a really quick point,
yes.
HLN, which I was watching all day because I was waiting for my car to get fixed.
Here's a quicker point. Sorry.
HLN was talking about the Occupy Wall Street movement in New York. And it was like, you know, talking about the places that had taken place, Boston, Wisconsin, Minnesota, L.A., Phoenix. But it didn't mention all the various other places that it's already taken place. It didn't say Jacksonville. It didn't say Tampa. It didn't say Sarasota. It said Miami. I imagine the Miami movement is strong and progressive.
Well, obviously,
it said Phoenix, but
the media is kind of sleeping on it a little bit still. They're not reporting as much about it. But
Al Jazeera has great coverage.
I must say, in the media's defense, though, honestly, like at this point, the thing has gotten so big that it would be beyond the capability of any news organization to actually be on the ground at their time. Now, this is raising an issue as to what media is going to be like in the 21st century. This is why a certain person that we all know named Sheldon Hall is so good at what I do.
You're throwing your support behind Sheldon Hall?
Because I'm a good reporter. I try to write as much stuff as I can because that's what I'm paid to do. So if I do more of it, I'll make more money, and that's nice. But a lot of my day is spent, taking in the work of other reporters all around this country, all around the world. This 99% situation illustrates how important it is to have bureaus in multiple cities, to have clear lines of connectivity between. The media is now learning the same lessons that the government learned in 9/11. Like, the government, and I don't think the government's a malicious organization. I don't think they're bad people. I think a lot of them are, I think they make a lot of bad decisions, but I think they're basically decent people that are trying to do the right thing. And I think a lot of the overreaction, the brutality that's happened in the past decade was 9/11 shocked a lot of people. It didn't shock – now, it didn't shock people like us because we've been talking about this stuff a long time. You know, we've been making black helicopter jokes for 20 years.
It shocked me. I don't know.
The terrorists –
I mean, it shocked me.
Bin Laden's an asshole, and I hope he's dead, and I hope he burns in hell, and all that, not just for talking the kind of shit and putting himself in a position where he could be used as a scapegoat for all that stuff and be connected to it. But, again, much like Bush, he put it all out there. A lot of our enemies, they put these things out there. The enemies of America talk openly about their plans and their motivations and all that as a means of rallying support, and America just ignores it, I mean, Bin Laden wrote it. It's like the whole Mein Kampf thing, Hitler's the closest thing to the Antichrist that we've ever had, but everything he did, he said years in advance he was going to do it. Why didn't somebody just fucking shoot him?
No, there were several attempts actually, but
he was around 12 years. If they can shoot Bob Marley, they can shoot Hitler.
Well, Bob Marley didn't have the SS.
If they can put three bullets.
Yeah, that's true. Bob Marley, I agree. Bob Marley did not have a sophisticated, and I use the word sophisticated, elite group of trained killers around him. Well, Hitler, we're really getting into Hitler.
You think Bob Marley didn't have a sophisticated group of trained killers around him?
I think he did, but they were all high at the time.
Hitler's people.
They were high on weed, and Hitler's troops were high on meth. That's what it was.
Yeah, Hitler. The Nazis were really into uppers.
Yeah, that is true too.
They were really into uppers. I mean, they're not. Weed is not a thing in Germany in the 30s or 40s.
Fuck that. I don't give a shit. Like,
it's like a campaign slogan.
Yeah. A guy like a Bin Laden, Stalin, you take those fuckers out. Like, no.
Stalin, yeah, no
I
shit.
Mean, you know, however many people it takes to do it, you do it to save the world. Like, I mean, you know, and this isn't a sort of
how can you get nostalgic about
this is sort of modern. I'm not nostalgic about anything.
About Hitler. I mean, Hitler.
I'm not nostalgic. I'm citing this guy as an example of the kind of fucking chaos and destruction and heartbreak and pain and tragedy that can happen in the world at any given time if people don't do what the fuck they're supposed to do.
When good men do nothing.
You know,
right.
Instead of listening. I mean, you think about it. You got like up in New York and Boston, Chicago, some of these protesters. You get like some little like chick in their like mid-20s, early 20s, you know, some like late teenager going to a prep school, Harvard, Yale, Vassar, Smith College or something like that, and they're like pulling themselves out of school to go down to like some place and you know, chant some slogans and talk and give out pamphlets and, you know, just, you know, motivate, and who cares what they're saying, blah blah blah. And instead of people going out there and listening to them and talking to them, you know, they get doused in pepper spray on a fucking camera by a bunch of cops that laugh at them. That's why it expanded. It would have never gone as big nationally, you know, had that not happened. NYPD blew it, you know. They set that shit off with putting, like, a bad guy out there. And, you know, all due respect to the cops, you know, all nice people, you know, they're not insiders. You know, when the hammer drops, it will not be the police force that's used to implement law and order.
Well,
the law enforcement community, as we're already seeing in some of these waves of budget cuts that are happening around the country, are already being perceived as a potential enemy, you know, as are the military.
Right. You know? Because they take up money.
But they are the 99%, and so they should join our movement. I mean,
many of them already have.
We can't get into specifics such as those.
No, we have no idea.
But certainly there's got to be some police and some military across it.
In New York, a group of retired ex-military, maybe a couple of active-duty military, last week after the mass arrest near the Brooklyn Bridge, they decided to go up to New York to lend their support, basically to provide security, like basically not armed or anything, but like, you know, legit, like, because that, you know, this past war, this current war, a lot of the guys that serve in that, guys and girls, you know, or people who are veterans of that war, feel exactly the same way. They can't talk about it because they don't want to lose their benefits. They don't want to be persecuted in their job. You know, they can't talk about it. They can't talk about politics in the uniform because that's the way we organize our society. We don't want it to be like Rome or Greece where the military has its own political viewpoint. That's why Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
He was the greatest warrior of his time, and he, you know, it's the whole like Warren Buffett kind of thing. Like, he's the guy at the very top,
right,
saying the people at the very bottom are absolutely right. You know,
Eisenhower.
So he puts the media in a position and the political elite and establishment of saying, oh no, Eisenhower's wrong. Fuck Eisenhower.
Eisenhower is one of...
Who's Teddy Roosevelt, man? What?
The most critical thinkers of American history and politics of the past century. Realistically. If you want to talk America and American...
Shout out to Kerry Rogers. We all love you.
Where's she at?
I don't know.
Oh, Kerry. I think you're talking about... Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That seconded... And I'm sorry that I don't have a car, or else I go to the hospital to see you. Is she out of the hospital, or is she still?
I don't know.
Yeah, she's in and out, man. And also to my mother. And,
yes.
To mothers all around the
yep.
industrial complex.
Mm-hmm. Touching, Willis. Thank you.
Saturday is the day everybody's wearing, by the way, is the day everybody's wearing the pink bras around in support of breast cancer. Now, we're only talking about this in theory because this might be out on the web well after the event. But still, breast cancer, wear your pink bras. If there are any ladies who have a pink bra that want to, like, just hang out Friday night and leave it around, I will wear that to the Occupy Jax #2 event on Saturday. Yeah. We're not even going to take up the Hitler threat again. Fuck Hitler. Fuck Bin Laden. Fuck all that. You know, fuck the whole idea of ignoring these protesters and persecuting them. It's I believe that usually when people protest on mass levels in the United States, they're usually right.
You know? There's something real.
There's obviously something real.
I think the Tea Party was right. I think the Nader people were right. I think the Ron Paul people were right. Mm-hmm.
They all have some point. Usually.
The bonus marchers, civil rights people.
The sad reality that I'm just going to abruptly bring in is that, you know, we.
The Klan's right about pretty much everything except black people.
Let me just. Well, just like.
I love their tax policy.
We're not even going to get into Barack Obama, except I'll say his name, and I'll just say that. He's the same person as any other bourgeoisie Democrat would ever be. I mean, his policies are terrible, and he's not sympathetic to working people or American people, and it's like he's a repetition of everybody, of a Republican or a Democrat, and it doesn't matter if he's black or white, or it doesn't matter what his affiliations are as a Democrat, but he's completely the same person. If you continue to think otherwise, then you've obviously lost your sense of reality or rationality. Because the system is designed as a bourgeoisie democracy.
Obama's shady as fuck. He doesn't deny that. None of these guys deny it. I think he's a nice guy, you know. Certainly the appeal, the power of the presidency.
He's done a few tiny things.
I think that I'm not talking about his policies.
We're not.
You know, the power and the prestige of the presidency has some appeal to everybody. You know,
sure.
Anyone would want to try to do it. But ultimately, you know, that guy would have made millions and millions of dollars and had massive amounts of power, whether he'd been president or not. I see him as someone who is sticking his ass out there, putting himself in a very vulnerable position for the sake of motivating young people, especially young people, to, you know, to get more involved in the system.
Now, how do you see him sticking his ass up?
Because any president can catch a bullet to the head anytime they step outside the White House. And if they sit inside the White House, maybe somebody will hit him with a plane. Or maybe they'll hit him with a missile. Or maybe they'll hit him with a space shuttle.
Who wants to kill Obama? They're going to send a Scud missile. I mean, no one.
Are you seriously asking the question of who might want to kill the president of the United States? Is that even a question that comes up?
It doesn't even matter who it is, really.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't. Yeah. I'm not saying specific to Obama. I'm not saying Obama specifically. I'm saying the president.
The president.
They all have
There's
to.
There's always
with
somebody
that
wants to kill the president.
People,
apparently.
Yeah, there have been plots on everybody.
Anti-American.
Look at George W. Bush. George W. Bush made it through at least half a dozen assassination attempts, you know.
And Saddam Hussein had
unknown personnel, people that got into Air Force One with no ID. A woman crashed her car through a wall, like right near where he was speaking.
The guy crashed into the IRS building in
the guy that threw shoes at Bush could have very well been a distraction for somebody else.
What was the name of the guy? Does anybody remember the guy that crashed his single engine plane into a building?
Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh gosh,
no one talked about it.
Oh yeah,
at all, because it's top secret information. A guy who was already affiliated with the government.
They only talked to the CIA, the
FBI,
NSA, and Party Phil. That's the only people that they told about it. But
well, it was on the news for like a day, and then after that, it was completely erased into consciousness. So, but I remembered it.
Oh sure, it's shady.
X-Files.
It's very shady. I mean, but we know
this is a nation of 300 million people, all of whom have an agenda.
So back to my question though. So what you're saying is that Obama, by occupying the presidency, is sticking his ass out.
He's
sticking his neck out,
basically. For the rest of us.
I see where you're coming from.
It's
there.
It's like, I love this country, but this is the thing, and this is the problem that our media has and our political system has. Nobody's saying that America is an evil none of us here in America are saying that, and these 99% are saying that America is an evil nation, that America is a...
Some are.
Well, some of them are, but the majority are not.
Majority, I
the
think
majority
are,
yeah. Have skin in the game, as they say.
True.
What we're saying is that it is functioning inappropriately in a way that one harms the nation, and two, creates the pretense for our pre-existing enemies to rally more people
True.
And more support to attack us further.
True.
Now, the people that attack us are not right. They're assholes. They're vicious.
Hang on a sec.
Yeah,
see, this is why you don't use the glass Benoit balls.
Sorry, Party Phil apparently wanted to interject the taste there.
He did not express himself. All
right, you guys, you can keep talking about political shit all you want.
Where are we at on time?
We are over an hour.
Yeah, we're about time to wrap it up, because by the time I edit it down, it's going to be about an hour.
All right, well, we'll wrap this one up, and perhaps we'll do a second one, or just
however you
record
want to
stuff. All right.
Are you free, or do you have to get...
No, let's see what time it is.
You just have to show us how to...
Show us how to do it. We'll just record.
Yeah, we just record things on the Audacity there and save
Yeah, just go ahead. But right. Go ahead and save this one.
Okay, so we'll save this one.
Wrapping up Hullcast number one. Thanks, Cody Barstow. Thanks, Willis Leroy. Thanks, Party Phil.
Party Phil!
Thanks to the 99%. Thanks to Barack Obama. Thanks to Kerry Rogers. Jesus.
Jesus.
Because who else could follow Kerry Rogers on the shout-out list besides Jesus? We'll see you all in several days or several seconds, depending on what form of communication you're using. Good night. Good morning. Have a pleasant
apocalypse.
I don't care. Just stop.